Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Kennel Kelp Holistic Healing Hour. And, of course, I'm still your host and moderator for hopefully another couple of days, Grandpa Bill. And it's my great pleasure today to welcome Dr. Tom Waldorf from the Integrated Health Clinic from Reno, Nevada. And the doctor and I have had a couple of seconds here to catch up in the green room, and I think the way I'm going to segue in for everybody's benefit that hasn't had a chance to hear my prelude show, I did cover the doctor's bio, and when this show goes to final edit and refinement, we most assuredly will put the bio back in the description of today's show. So please, everybody, welcome Dr. Tom, and I believe we're going to talk about international neuropathy to open up with. Welcome, Dr. Tom.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate being here. Yeah, as we were talking about, one of the things that I've experienced talking with people all across the country is how can I help when you're not in Reno, Nevada? And, you know, I've really had to come up with a strategy to assist people that have certain conditions. And one of the biggest ones we deal with that nobody knows what to do with when they're out there looking is peripheral neuropathy.
Correct.
Peripheral neuropathy is when you stop having sensation in your feet, and it can be in your hands. There really is no cure for peripheral neuropathy, unfortunately, because it's such a cellular deep tissue issue that happens over a long period of time. So there's no surgeries, there's no medications, there's nothing that you can do to cure it, to heal it. So I got involved about 15 years ago with a patient that was complaining of this sensation, a lack of sensation, and I started using ozone. Didn't really see a lot of benefits from it, helped a little bit, but then about 6 years ago, started using what's called laser therapy. Veterinarians have been using lasers for 40 years. There's about 50 years worth of studies on laser. They started treating animals with it, noticed that there was a tissue change and improvement. So I started using it on a couple patients and noticed that their feet started healing. And then I got involved with a gentleman by the name of Patrick Doyle. He developed these boots that also provide a similar, what we call photobiomodulation, a similar treatment that people can take home.
Wow.
And they don't have to come to my practice. So that's why I really like talking about this first with people. I've spoken with people in London. I've spoken to people all over the world that we can help people with this condition. Particularly ones that have diabetic peripheral neuropathy, because their long-term outcome is surgery, removing toes, removing feet,
correct,
and the ulcers and all that. And we find that we can help the body start recovering.
Doc, can I ask you? Can I ask you a quick question? Kind of maybe backhandedly through what's been a pretty rough 3 years with the pandemic for everybody, for obvious reasons. Did that actually kind of accentuate your viralness, if you will, with the neuropathy because of the pandemic, but or not necessarily? Where people actually couldn't come to your clinic probably for obvious
reasons. Actually more telemedicine, because I've worked with people 3 hours away, three states away, where we send them the kits to do the exam. I go over the exam and have them do it with an assistant at their home. And then I determine whether or not they're a candidate for the treatment. So that really did get pushed by COVID and people staying indoors. Today, not as much of an issue, except if I have somebody in Florida, they really can't get treatment. So we're able to help people throughout the country in other states, and that's starting to happen. People can contact us on our website and say, I've heard about you on a podcast. Can I get more information? And then we take it from there. If you'd like to go into the physiology of it,
I would love to
explain it.
Okay. I would love to. I think that would be most beneficial.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't understand what peripheral neuropathy is.
Correct.
The majority of the time, they'll see a neurologist or they'll see a podiatrist or their internal medicine doctor, and they'll be given gabapentin or Lyrica.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with the medications is it just stops your ability to feel the pain.
Right. It literally masks the pain.
It masks the problem.
Absolutely.
It masks the problem. You don't feel your feet. I have patients coming in that can't tell the difference between their gas pedal and their brake.
Wow.
We've seen people run into their garage door saying, I had my foot on the brake. No, you didn't.
Right.
Because they can no longer feel pressure.
That's alarming. That's actually quite alarming.
It's very alarming. I've had people walk in with crutches and all of these. And we've done over 150 patients now, I believe. And only one patient didn't do well because she couldn't handle the pain. It started coming back because she started getting feeling again.
And Doc, are you finding that more prevalent in we seniors, or is that not necessarily the case?
Not necessarily the case. 45 and up.
Wow.
It happens to diabetic patients.
Yeah.
It happens to cancer patients.
Yep.
It happens to patients that have had surgery. And then there's another one we call idiopathic peripheral neuropathy, which basically means we don't know why you have it.
Okay. I love that.
So we can pretty much.
What does that mean? I got it.
We don't know. You didn't have cancer. You don't have diabetes. You didn't have surgeries, but you still have peripheral neuropathy. So what is peripheral neuropathy? Well, it's at a cellular level. It's correct. The capillaries, the small correct. One blood vessel capillary that is in your feet, in your hands too. All of a sudden, they get blocked or they just collapse.
Right.
We don't know why they do. We just know that they do. And it could be for multiple reasons. And when they collapse, they no longer feed what's on the outside of the nerve, what's called the myelin sheath. It's a fatty tissue on the outside of the nerve. So if you look at an electrical wire, and we pull back the plastic and you see that copper, that's basically what's happening to our nerves. So when there's no blood supply to that nerve, then you start getting different sensation losses.
Right.
It could be heat, pressure, vibration, the pinpoint needles, cold, pressure, all of those in different parts of the foot from left to right could start fading away.
Wow.
And it just continues and continues and continues. And in diabetic patients, because it's more physiological, they could actually get ulcers because there's no more blood supply and the tissue starts to die. So that's what's happening to the nerves too. So with our treatment using photobiomodulation, using lasers, we're going in and recreating the capacity for those capillaries to start functioning again and then start feeding the nerves.
Wow.
So our program lasts a year, and typically within 3 months, people I've seen it improve 30 to 50% within 3 months, where they could have 80, 85% sensation loss and half of it's back by the time they are 3 months into the treatment.
It's so interesting that you say that. Mine's for a different reason. I have two different forms of arthritis, very prevalent in my hands. I have psoriatic and RA, but mine's induced definitely through mercury poisoning. I've definitely got, I had a bunch of amalgam fillings,
Right.
And I made a really bad career choice once upon a time selling toxic chemicals that had skull and crossbones on. So mine's related to that. But my point on that is I'm sure, I know I am. I have the same tingling sensations in my fingers for different reasons. But I think it's in the same.
Well, it is. Toxification,
You
know, you're bringing an issue in here.
Correct.
That we are constantly being bombarded with toxins.
Oh boy, are we. Boy, are we.
And now we're being bombarded by electronics.
So much so.
Our body is constantly being bombarded with all of these things, causing free radicals, causing oxidation in our bodies. Our body's trying to protect us by absorbing the heavy metals and all these things and putting them in our fat.
Correct.
And trying to protect us. But our brain still gets affected. So we do a lot of, and I heard on one of your podcasts, and this is so true, you have to detox
You do.
Before you start doing nutrition.
I'm preaching to the doctor, but I'm just concurring. Yeah. You most assuredly do. You most assuredly.
So we do a liver and kidney and digestive detox, but I also do what's called a cellular detox.
Okay.
We use a product called Clean, and it actually goes into the blood-brain barrier and starts pulling heavy metals out and makes them inert so that your body can release them and get them out of your system.
Doc, would that said product be denoted on your website or?
That would be a question for somebody to ask me. We haven't really promoted that yet.
Yeah.
Because I have to kind of control that one.
Got it.
To make sure that they're getting what they need out of it.
Correct.
Because once we start depleting and cleaning it up, then we have to replenish.
Got it.
I don't want people just taking it without having the replenishing electrolytes and nutrients they need to be able to basically start healing again.
So at this juncture in your diagnoses of the said individuals, it truly is unique to the one-on-one scenario with the said individual.
Got it. Every patient we have come in here is an individual. Not everybody gets the same treatment.
Got it.
But I put everybody on, and this is the next thing in regards to peripheral neuropathy, is nitric oxide.
Correct.
Has anybody talked to you about nitric oxide?
They have, and I have a little, I'm certainly not a doctor, but I have a little bit of a familiarity with it jargon-wise, and I also know somebody that has it, you know, is taking it. Other than that, I know what it is, but I'm not sure to the full extent of the law. You're going to tell me.
I'm going to tell you.
You're going to tell me.
So in 1998, and this still is in prevalence to peripheral neuropathy, but correct, this will move us into other topics. But in 1998, there was a Nobel Peace Prize awarded for the scientists that recognized what nitric oxide does.
Correct.
And this isn't the nitric oxide that people take for the heart attacks.
The laughing,
angina.
Giggly gas.
It's not the gas.
Right, right. Okay.
Nitric oxide is produced in our body.
Correct.
There's these cells called epithelial cells. They're in the lining of our arteries.
Correct.
And at the age of 45, we progressively start losing the capacity for our body to generate nitric oxide. So 65% we're about producing at 45, and then at 65, we're down to about 15% production. That's before we dealt with all the toxins and we've dealt with all the electronics. I'm finding teenage girls and young boys that have no nitric oxide in their system whatsoever.
Correct.
And the problem with that is if every artery has these cells that need to dilate and contract,
right,
they can't do it without nitric oxide. And the nitric oxide also creates this slippery film on the inside of the arteries to keep from any plaquing, anything to grow on the inside of the arteries.
Doc, how would you introduce it to the body? Injection? Or?
No, I've worked with multiple companies, and I have a company now that I like to work with. They also have the tester. So you put it on your tongue and you can detect whether or not you're depleted. So that's always
okay.
A nice way to be able to regulate.
It is.
Because we're just not getting it in our foods anymore.
Right.
We're over farming. We're not allowing the ground to rest and to fill it back up with the nitrites that help create the nitrates in the foods. So we have to supplement.
And I'm sure I'll mispronounce the word if I'm even in the area, but the actual little lozenge or whatever that you're, isn't that called like a triophate or something like that? I'm probably way off. Does it begin with T or something?
No.
You actually let it dissolve, or you're not letting it dissolve?
This one you don't. This
okay.
one you digest.
Okay.
It's a tablet.
Got it. It's a capsule.
And yeah, it's a capsule.
Got it.
And your stomach helps break that down
from
nitrites into nitric oxide.
Got it.
So it's three nitric molecules and an oxygen
molecule.
Is that
like an immediate release, or is it time released once it gets within the makeup of the body, if you will?
The nutrient itself will produce based on your capacity to produce it.
Got it.
You know, you can't, it's supposed to show up inside your saliva. Right. And people that use mouthwash or smoke or right. use chew or anything right. that destroys the pH in the mouth
right.
Will destroy nitric oxide. Same thing with the stomach. It's correct. Also generated in the stomach.
Correct.
So we all hear about vitamin C. We heard about vitamin E, B12, all of those. But very few people understand how important it is to have nitric oxide. You don't have that in your body. You don't have blood flow. You don't have good brain recovery. You don't have good musculoskeletal recovery. Your gastrointestinal, your nervous system, your reproductive system. I don't need to go any farther than that.
Right, right. Well, but no, but true. I mean, true,
it's
for
very
sure.
true.
For true.
There's a lot of men that have that issue, and they'll try the medications.
Does it actually precipitate clotting per se?
Yes.
Clotting. Does it
not clotting?
No.
It helps with blood flow.
Got it.
Platelets are going to what gives you clotting.
Got it.
The nitric oxide is going to allow for the proper blood flow through your system.
So it literally expands the capillary. It opens opens it up so you have a nice flow. Got it. Awesome.
Absolutely. So a lot of men that have ED,
right,
they'll be taking all the supplements and it still doesn't work. Because they don't have enough nitric oxide in their body.
So the one we see on television, the little blue pill or whatever?
The little blue pill. Gotcha. If you don't have blood flow, it's not going to matter how much of that you take.
Right. I kind of discerned that from the little tiny bit of common sense that I have left. But all humor aside, that obviously would make sense, the blood flow issue.
Yeah, it's all blood flow. And in our practice, my sole responsibility is to get people moving.
Sure. Absolutely.
We don't move, we die. Our motto is a better life through motion. So
it's
we have to move.
It's one of the biggest things as a non-practitioner, because I do a lot of exercising and I promote it and what have you. And I deal with a lot of people that are obese. They're obese. I'm not insulting anybody. And you have to impart upon them even more so. You have to stop being sedentary, whatever it is. If you just walk up and down the stairs or pick your foot up or get the mindset and the actual motion and movement.
Well, it's such a challenge where we are an obese society.
Oh, boy, are we. Western Hemisphere, for sure. Maybe more so.
And so I'm really excited about what we're doing with our practice. And I hope over the next 5 to 10 years, we're able to educate people that it's not just one thing.
It's so many diverse things. The body is just so amazing. So amazing. But it obviously has so many different category sections that can be impugned, mm-hmm. integrated, and
right.
With this toxic planet, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my
So we're approaching, and anybody that listens to the podcast,
right?
If you don't find a clinic like ours, and there's very few that exist as of yet, but this is what you need to look for. You need somebody like myself as a chiropractor that understands sports medicine, that knows how to get you moving, can use lasers, can use taping, can help your joints, your knees, your elbows, your shoulders get moving, then you need an exercise coach. You need somebody that understands physiology to help you.
Correct. Okay? So key.
Then you need to have somebody that helps you with your nutrition. Okay. Then you need somebody to help you with your hormones.
Right.
If your hormones aren't balanced, if your thyroid isn't balanced, if you have diabetes, if you have all these things, all the rest of it's going to be really, really hard. And then in our practice, we're having therapists in our practice.
Correct.
Because you can have somebody that understands it, understands they need to lose weight, understand that what they're doing is wrong, but they can't stop their stress eating, their anxiety, their incapacity to cope.
Correct.
And they use food for that. And so we can do, you see people with gastric bypasses and all these different things. And a year or two later, they're as big, if not bigger, than they were before.
Absolutely.
Why? It's because what's between these two ears
really
wasn't dealt with.
As in my humble opinion, it's so much. What am I trying to say? It's so much mental as well as the obvious physical movement and whatever you're doing. But it, you have to get the old bean on to accept it, realize it, do it.
Right. You got to understand, why is it that at 8, 9 o'clock at night, I need to have something to eat? You know, and it has to be sweet, or it has to be this. I tell patients, I don't want you eating past 6, 6:30.
It's so bad for the body. It's so bad for the body. Obviously, if you're putting the sugar content, but it's so bad for your body to eat at that hour. Basically, at all.
It's just getting thrown into the fat cells.
Exactly.
You're not using it.
Exactly. The only reason that I know anything about it, I used to be 50 pounds overweight 10 years ago. And I'm a man of very short stature. So the 50, honest to God, the 50 looked like about 110. I mean, I had jowls and the whole
thing.
It was pretty scary. And what it was is that you got into a little bit of difficulty with alcohol, beer.
Sure.
Beer, which is how many calories are in beer. I mean, I just ballooned up because I drank too much beer. So anyway, I got that element out of the way, but I had to get the bean. I was always a pretty active person previous because I put the weight on quick in a short period of time because I went a little erratic with the beer. That's why, in all honesty. So when I addressed it, and having been active to quite an extent when I was younger and always working out and so on and so forth, once I got my mind back on, you got to get off the couch, Bill. Stop eating the Cheetos and the yo-yos. And I never ate like that. It was the alcohol craving the sugar. When I stopped drinking, and even when I was a kid, I never was like a big chocolate fan or whatever, like a kid. But when I stopped, because my body was craving it, I ate more Hershey's bars and all that. So while I was trying to lose the weight by diminishing the alcohol, I was eating all this crazy candy and stuff. So I guess my ramble-bamble thing, personally, like any of us, until you – hey, I got to move. I got to do something about this or it's going to get progressively worse.
Yeah. And the nice thing about it is once you get into that cycle and you get away from the sugar, your body starts responding to that.
It does. It does. And it's truly a machine.
Yeah. And the one thing I want to throw out there too is that people think, okay, I just need to go run. I need to do cardio. I need to just burn the calories.
Correct.
And what I try to educate people is cardio is necessary, but that's not going to allow you to lose weight.
Correct.
You need to build muscle, particularly as we get older.
Right.
If you don't have muscle, you can't burn calories.
You can't.
I've seen patients and people in the gym on that treadmill for a year. They look the same way when they first started. Yeah, because they never did anything to gain muscle. When you work out your muscle, that muscle is going to be burning calories throughout the day.
All the time.
Do cardio, once you're done with cardio, your body eventually catches up and you're done. But if you're building muscle, exercising that muscle, you're going to constantly need more calories and burn more calories.
Case in point, my wife's constantly saying, especially at the price of food nowadays, right? She goes, my God, you eat so much food. How do you stay so? And she knows the answer. And it's not that I'm, you know, anything other than I finally made up my mind. I never want to be like that again. So I do a little bit of free weight and I do exercise bands. So I have pretty good lean muscle mass. I mean, I don't do any heavy weights. I'm not going to be Mr. Maine or put on bulk mass or anything like that. But I find that the resistance bands and then the free weights, and I go low and slow. And that's my whole theme when I work out for geriatrics, most of we senior citizens. And that's not to say, I know a guy that's 75 years old. God bless him. He's going to be in a heavy, and you would never know the man. But I think that's the exception to the rule for most people in our age bracket. So my point on that, I think especially elderly, not to diminish the young kids either, but lean muscle mass will allow you to do a lot of things in senior citizenry that you might not be able to do if you don't.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because we also deal with osteoporosis.
Correct.
And why? Because of the way we eat, number one, and number two, the lack of weight-bearing exercise. You have to put stress on the body for
you
it to grow, both
you
mentally and physically.
Do.
You have to add stress, but not constant stress, which is what we deal with, unfortunately, every day now, is that constant fight and flight.
Right.
You know, we have to calm it down and relax, allow our body to heal, but you have to stress it out for it to build. You can't just, I'm just going to do some easy stretches and that's fine, but you're not going to build muscle mass. You're not going to strengthen at the ligaments and tendons and the cartilage in your joints. You have to work them.
And it's the same premise. I'm sorry. It's the same premise as you said, those that are on, and God love the people that are on the bikes and everything, you know, but if you're only doing that exclusively, like you say, a year later, and to your earlier point, unless you're doing some kind of resistance, what you can work out 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and you'll never notice a difference unless you start to get that resistance.
That's
You're almost being counterintuitive if you think like, geez, I'm going to work out now and I'm going to really lose weight and all that. And I think that's the naivety maybe to coincide with the Western diet too. I'm not sure overall if we're quite there yet in the West. We're getting better. And I think the younger generation is, we old folks are probably a tad more difficult to convince maybe about, you know, this is what you need to do and how you need to do it. What are you finding in your practice? Do you find that to be the case? Are these seniors?
Yeah, I think seniors have, well, this is the issue. Seniors have more time.
Of course.
And, you know, and I find the younger folks, it's easier just to go through a drive-thru.
Right.
And so the reality of it is, it's laziness.
It is. And boy, most in the Western atmosphere, we have a propensity to be pretty lazy.
Yeah. You know, we've allowed our technology to allow us to be lazy versus allowing our technology to allow us to have time to take care of ourselves.
Correct.
So don't let the technology, always being on the phone, always, you know, watching TV, affect what you're doing, because you need to get out. You need to be working out. You need to be taking care and doing self-care. And if you don't, when you get in your 60s, 70s, and 80s, you'll wish you had.
It can be a tough run.
And I mean, unfortunately,
you know, the chronology and the aging process, of course, is going to happen, you know, however. But I just never really want to be incapacitated if I can possibly prevent that. It's not a quality of life.
Well, there's one other thing that I don't want to miss in this conversation.
Please, Doc. Please.
Particularly for men.
Yes.
If you have not been tested, you should have your testosterone levels tested.
Can you say that one more time? I'm sorry.
If you have not had your blood levels tested for testosterone.
Correct.
You should. Yeah. Have you?
I have, but you know what? It's been a while. I probably should do it again. Been probably the better part of 3 years, so I probably should do it again. Yeah.
Yeah, because we want to be at optimal levels.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know, and 200 to 300, when they come back and says, you're within range. I don't want to be within range. I want to be optimal.
Absolutely.
So always remember that, because typical allopathic medicine is not looking at anti-aging.
Correct.
They're not looking at how can I stay looking like I'm 40, 50 years old when I'm 80.
Right.
Well, you do that by having proper levels of testosterone, making sure your estradiol, all your hormones are normal.
Right.
And both men and women. And so that's one that I really want people to understand, that there is a term called andropause.
Right.
Men actually go through hormonal changes just like women do.
It's funny you should say that, because when I listened in the car or whatever to the talk shows or the sports shows or whatever, a lot of the commercials are for that. And it's younger. Everybody's younger than me at this stage. But it's a lot of younger men, like late 30s, 45 years old. Oh, geez, oh, yeah. I went to the ABC clinic and I had my testosterone. Well, I feel great. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm so glad I did it.
Oh, yeah, it hits. Well, this is the interesting thing. Cardiovascular disease starts around 45.
Yep.
Men's testosterone levels start dropping around 38 to 45.
Correct. So right in that zone. Yep.
So your cardiovascular system and your heart are made up of what?
Muscle. You're going to test me now, right?
Muscle.
Yeah, right.
Muscle.
Right.
What repairs muscle? Testosterone.
Correct.
So as men, if our testosterone levels drop in that 200 to 300, 400 range, we are not repairing anymore. It affects our mental health. It affects our capacity to manage pain. It affects, of course, our drive. So that's another, outside the peripheral neuropathy, men's testosterone, and particularly women, because women after menopause, they don't do anything.
I was going to say, it's same premise with the ladies on estrogen or whatever.
Yeah, and that if that's not balanced between estrogen, progesterone, estradiol, testosterone, they need it too.
Right.
And if you look at a couple in their 60s and 70s, the woman starts looking more like a man and the man starts looking more like a woman.
Isn't that the truth, though? Isn't that the truth in some instances? It really is.
That's because their hormones are off.
Right. So, not to be graphic, but when we start to get little... Right? It's like, what's going on here?
Enough testosterone in your system.
Yep.
So there is a way for us to stay young. There really is. And I think for people that want to have an active life, that's why I like to call our clinic Active Life.
Right.
You need to seek this out, because I know in my 30s, late 30s, early 40s, with the other companies that I've had and products that I had always dealt with and pharmacists and compounding pharmacists that I worked with, I had to learn the hard way about my testosterone level. And I went through dealing with my primary care provider. And he's like, well, you want hormones? We need to send you to an endocrinologist because they're afraid that you have a hormonal disease.
Correct.
Not that I want to have wellness care.
Right.
So finally, he gave me my testosterone every 2 weeks, and I'm like running around like a crazy man after the first injection. And then a week and a half later, I'm like this again. So there's better ways now to do it. There's so much data out there on the benefits of it for men and women, and for women, how it can be cancer preventative.
Correct.
So again, when people are listening to your podcast, I just really want them to have an understanding that they don't have to age to the extent that we have been.
Now, Doc, how would folks, dumb question, probably the obvious answer, but how would folks that obviously aren't in Reno or Nevada or whatever, just contact you directly through your website?
Yeah, they could contact me directly because I'm working with an organization.
Okay.
This organization, I've worked with multiple compounders, so I've been doing it for 20 plus years. But this one organization trains physicians throughout the country.
Right.
So if anybody has a question about it, they can reach out to me through info@activelifereno.com. I'll reach out to this organization, say, who do we have in Maine is doing our program? That's what we would do.
Are you comfortable with me sharing what you shared in the green room about your son in Maine? Are you comfortable?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
sure.
The doc and I, you know, were convincing a tiny bit to get to know each other a little bit, and it came up in conversation that his son is still attending the Naval Academy.
No, he's not still attending the academy. He graduated in 2015.
Oh, okay, I got you.
And then they put him into nuke school for 2 years.
Wow.
So he can understand nukes on a sub. So they did that for 3 years out of Hawaii, and now he's in Japan.
Wow. And fellow Mainers and those that aren't, he did indeed go to Castine right here in Maine, correct?
He went to Annapolis.
Oh, okay. Okay. You're familiar with casting when we were talking. I'm sorry. Yeah. I get everything wrong.
He went to Annapolis.
I thought he actually attended here, but hey, Annapolis isn't chopped liver, is it?
No, not at all.
Good for him. Good for him. You should be
pretty excited.
Of course you are. Of course you
Absolutely.
Are. Doc, do we have you for a few more moments or so?
Yes.
Or
any other questions?
I would love to segue into, as I told you in the green room, a little inside joke with the doc, my green room, that I perused his website and did the Prelude show. And as I went through his categories of services, one that intrigued myself because it ties into what we've talked about a little bit, my own exercise routine and the program I do for workouts for geriatrics. Can you expand upon your exercise specialist category that I just briefly went through? I think that might be of interest to folks too.
Yeah, my oldest patient is 100 years old.
Get out of town. Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, he just turned 100.
God
bless
him.
He's worked with two of my exercise coaches. First one was David, and he did balance work with him.
Awesome.
And then got him hitting bags.
Get out of town at 100. At 100.
He was 98, I think, when we started.
When he started or whatever.
Yeah. And so they'd get him into the gym and he'd start hitting bags. So it helped with coordination and balance.
It does.
It also helped with strength because he had to hit those bags.
It does.
And we've had probably 10 patients do the boxing.
I think it's great. I mean, it's a great way to get out some frustration, but I mean the movement.
It's the movement. We've got two boxing coaches, one that does some martial arts and body balancing.
Correct.
And then we have one that does weights, building muscle mass.
Now, are you a proponent of like the chips, or you don't do that with the EMF type of chips? Electromagnetic field for balance or not necessarily?
It's not something I've been dealing with too much, but because of the whole EMF,
correct,
and all the electronics,
right,
I'm looking at some more things because I want to do some internal studies with nitric oxide.
Please do.
That if we can bring down the amount of EMF and electronics around us,
can we
reduce the need for so much
wonderful
nitric oxide?
Please keep me advised of your ongoing progress on that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, I'm still in the midst of studying different EMF blockers. So then we can do a controlled clinical trial and see if they actually
work. That would be so, I would love to see that come to fruition. That would be so intriguing.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested.
You would actually probably ingrain them like up somewhere around the handles of the said walker or something like that.
The units that I'm looking at actually would be throughout the clinic.
Got it.
So I haven't really developed the study yet. So we're still kind of playing around with it.
For those that don't know, can you tell folks how big and all-encompassing in the staff that you have within? It's pretty impressive. Please do, Doc. Please tell.
Well, I've got myself as a chiropractic physician. We'll probably be bringing on one other chiropractic physician, but we've got nurse practitioners. We've got four exercise coaches. We got a therapist and a psychiatrist that are coming on board. And we might even have an orthopedist coming on board.
Cool.
So that way we can address every aspect of the patient. And as we were talking about, everyone's an individual, and we call it Transformation 360, and we're all in this loop, and a patient can come at any part of that loop, whether they need me or they need hormones first or they need weight management first or they need therapy first, but it all gets integrated. That's why we're Active Life Integrated Health, to really provide a well-rounded program for an individual so they can really have the success they're looking for.
That's truly the epitome of a one-stop shop, if you will. I mean, you got the bases covered in-house.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Over the years, I've seen medicine so siloed.
Correct.
Basically, you know, you've got this provider here, this provider here, this provider here. You refer to that provider, you never hear from the patient again. Or somebody sends them to you, but you really don't know what the other provider did.
Correct.
I think it's unfortunate, but it is the way that the system has been developed. And I kind of want to change that.
And don't you find that under that promise, for so many reasons, the world the way it is, that under that promise, so much gets lost in, no aspersions on anybody, gets lost in the translation from what did happen at facility A, and then they had to go 30 miles to do faction two, and
well, then maybe the, come back to time.
Do it. It's too fractionated in the time. You can't do it justice. And it probably can't do you justice, if you will.
Well, the reality of it is our healthcare system isn't healthcare, it's sick care.
Right.
And most people are oriented towards that. Doc, right. Just give me something for it. I don't have time for this.
Right.
Or I'm going to go to the ER because I've got a cold.
I'll do it next week. I'll do it next week.
Yeah, we're so yes. sick oriented that we're not health mindset.
Correct.
So I want to get us away from this concept of sick care and move into health care. And that's what we're at. And allowing, and I love this phrase, allow the power that made the body heal the body. We just have to be supporters of that.
And of course, those of an alternative integrative ilk are a little bit more aware that, of course, the body can and will heal itself,
well, yeah.
given the right methodology, modalities, yeah. and opportunity to do so.
Absolutely.
It's, 100%. The body is definitely, I'm not sure about spiritualism or whatever, but it definitely is a gift from God, and it definitely is such an amazing organ, plural, the body. It's just amazing.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I know when I started school, and I was a biochem major, my undergrad, and then went into chiropractic school and started right. studying embryology, and I'm like, this just didn't happen out of thin air. Right. It's way too complicated.
And it can, I mean, those that jump in practitioner-wise, but those on the periphery, I mean, I've read some books and stuff, and it's like, I'm going to have to read this about five more times before. but you do catch on, you know, I've read physiology books, and I don't know if I'd want to do a dissertation and, you know, tell you. But I get the concept. I mean, I do. And I'm very much into the heart-brain connection and that type of thing. So maybe we have a little bit more advantage getting out of the gate of trying to do something about it with that
knowledge. Well, I do believe, you know, what happens in the physical happens in the spiritual. What happens in the spiritual happens in the physical. I don't think we can isolate ourselves from our mental and spiritual environment. We just can't.
It's who we are.
Yeah, there's vibration. There's so many things that orient us to who we are as human beings that if we weren't unique, then all the animals would have it and all
exactly.
the other.
Exactly.
We're the only creature on this planet that's able to discern and understand where we're at in time and space. And
exactly.
so from that perspective, there's so much more to this. Than just take
we haven't
a
even cracked the surface yet, have we, Doc? Really,
oh,
we haven't even
no.
cracked the surface yet.
No way, have we?
No, it's a long time. So, one thing I would love to do, and we can keep you here all day long, but I'm sure you have other things to do. You probably
do.
You probably have a practice to run. You got some,
I do.
Some minor, like a practice or something like that. But I would love to give you an open invite, all contingent on your schedule, because I think the subject is so multitudinous. I would love to have you back again.
Absolutely.
To be continued, if you will.
To be continued. That'd be fine.
Okay. Great. Sound agreeable?
Sounds
agreeable.
Was
there anything else that you feel as though we should interject before we say bye-bye today here, just for everybody's...
Yeah, the one thing, and I've experienced this in my career, is that I'll get people that come into my practice says they've tried everything and they have no more hope.
Right.
And that's the one thing I want to say is there's hope. There's hope for healing. Don't give up, because as soon as you do, then you're over. So that's my biggest thing is keep the faith, keep hopeful, keep striving. Don't quit. That's keep so looking important. For your solutions.
That's such an important message, Doc, whether they even ever entertain your services.
And sure. The message, 100%.
The message, because there is hope. Things are there's a hope. Little topsy-turvy right now, which adds to all of it for all of us at sure. different levels with distress. And I mean, how could it not? So I think that's a very resounding and important message, most assuredly when it's applied with the methodology and the modalities. But the message.
One last thing is don't do it alone.
And thank you. Because it's almost insurmountable to try to do it alone.
We really can't. You really can't. I mean, I can't run my practice alone.
Of course not. And there's no versions on your capability, but of course you can.
No, nobody can do any of this stuff alone. So don't try. Don't pretend that it makes you weak because you can't do it without help. I think that is one of the downfalls of us as individuals.
We're
afraid to ask for help.
I agree.
And we have a tendency to want to do everything by ourselves. We're not creatures of solitude.
Don't you think too, Doc, that backhandedly in the Western Hemisphere especially, we've almost somehow subliminally been preconditioned, especially if we've been around for a while, over the years to think that way.
We've 100%. Almost
been, I don't want to say brainwashed because maybe that's a little too strong, but maybe.
Well, it's the concept of pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality.
There you go.
Right?
Right.
And you know, while growing up as a kid, when your dad says, Just throw some dirt on it. You'll be fine.
That's impossible.
Yeah, you didn't break your wrist. I don't care if you can't move it. You're fine. You know, we've been raised that way. And to a certain extent, we have to have a little bit more chutzpah. You know, we have to push through things. But at the same time, we shouldn't ignore it. We need to keep hope alive in ourselves and find people that are either going through the same thing or have solutions for you.
Correct.
Don't isolate yourself. And I think we've really learned that from the incident of COVID. Isolation was not the cure. It was the disease.
It's exactly.
We should never isolate ourselves.
Ever. But we definitely don't want to get me started on that one, because neither of us has enough time to talk that one.
Yeah, we'll do that one on another
one. We will.
On another show.
So, Doc, I'm going to bid you adieu for today, and thank you so much for being here today. And let's communicate behind the scenes, obviously, based on your availability. You've got a couple of other things to do. I'm always here, and we'll do this again.
Sounds wonderful. I look forward to it.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye, Doc. Thank you so much.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.